Hello, I'm Royce Gomez, founder of Royce Talks, and have been recognized as a leading authority for coaching and training entrepreneurs and executives, speaking to audiences ranging from 20 to more than 1,000. My articles have been published in the Huffington Post, Unlimited Woman, and Charity Magazine. I am co-author of The Stories and Daily Habits of Highly Successful Women and international bestseller Discover Your Destiny, Live Your Dreams, Love Your Life. I have effectively coached successful business owners who were in transition, both in business and their personal life. Today, my guest, April Consulo, who is a Hall of Fame speaker and songwriter and global success coach with her company, Own Your Destiny. April has over 20 years of live stage experience, sharing the stage with many top legends in the country music industry, as well as being noted as a high-energy keynote speaker for top corporations, churches, small businesses, and women's conferences. Her vast experience on stage has garnered her many opportunities as a spotlight spokeswoman and live performer. Her dynamic stage presence and powerful voice, along with her unique personal development writing skills, led her to be one of the most highly sought-after songwriters on tour. She calls herself a song speaker, actually, and April's lyrics will empower you while her voice will bring out the emotion and feeling to any audience. She is the founder of Own Your Destiny and her not-for-profit known as Women, Word of Mouth Entrepreneurial Networkers. She has inspired thousands of women and men to follow their dreams and check off their bucket list before it's too late. Now I would love to introduce you to April. Hello, April, and thanks for joining us on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory.
Thank you so much, Royce, and thank you for this incredible platform that you continue to aspire and just motivate women. And it's a blessing and an honor to be on this call with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there is so much to your bio and your background that I don't know where to start, but I want our listeners to get to know you. So if you can just share a little bit about your personal and professional background and introduce us to who April is, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Thank you again for the opportunity. So, yeah, I actually have a very diverse background. When I was really young, I was born and raised in the Bay Area of California and then raised near the Oakland area. And I had told my mother by the time I was 12, I was going to be a country music Hall of Fame artist, and I was going to tour with all these big artists. One of them that I was so in love with back in the time is still a legend today, Patsy Cline, and not even knowing she wasn't even on the earth at that point, and just fell in love with storytelling and music. And then I would listen to somebody like a Carole King. So I had this real vast, because I came from California, I loved storytelling almost more than, you know, a genre of music, if that makes sense. And started writing when I was 12, but not understanding I was actually writing songs. And some would say journaling in today's world. But picked up a guitar, started guitar lessons when I was in high school. And one of my guitar teachers said, you know, you actually can sing. And I said, oh, okay. So I decided that I was going to start singing and writing. And what a blessing to have a mother that supported that dream, because I had no one in my family with any musical background. Nobody had ever picked up really an instrument in any capacity. So I'm sure my mother thought I was crazy, but she still supported that dream. And the journey began. And, you know, when I speak on stage, I really talk about this. Back in those days, you know, there was no American Idol and no voice show, or there was no internet. So you couldn't just stand out there and say, discover me. You actually had to, a term I love to use is called pay your dues. You actually had to start at the bottom, you know, get your chops in the music industry, you know, perform, you know, voluntarily for many things you didn't want to sing at, from, you know, little VFW halls to singing in the freezing cold at little apple farms, and just waiting to get discovered and getting your voice in a better condition, because, you know, not everybody just starts out singing, you know, in a perfect pitch. And that is something I want to say. You know, I came from very, very, you know, I mean, we had shoes and we had food, but I want you to know my mom dug in dumpsters to put food on the table. So it wasn't like I could just go get a voice coach. I had to learn, and I had to overcome fears of speaking and singing in front of three people, let alone what I ended up doing later in life. So I'm very proud that I came from nothing and really dug that platform. And most of the artists that I worked with, the Vince Gills, the Toby Keith, the George Jones, you know, some of these legends, that's how they began their music career. So it really wasn't just stand in line and somebody discover you. And quite frankly, I think that's why I was so sustainable financially in that industry, because I was able to make a living in that industry. Whereas I think a lot of the newer artists today, you know, they might get one or two songs off the ground, but they don't know how to build a career in it. So went into that genre, but smart enough to know, and this is a real learning moment, a nugget. When I started rising up in music, the first thing I did was I looked in my local area. Who were the people making a living in music? Who were those ones? And by the time I was 16, I latched onto a local group that had had a lot of success, and they were mentoring me, and they were at that time in their 30s and 40s. But one thing I remember thinking, I don't want to be 40 or 50 years old working and singing for a burger. I didn't want to be that artist. And because I thought like that, I was always looking for other plan B, C, and D, meaning business mindset, thinking, okay, let's say music doesn't work for me and I wake up in my early 30s, and what other things am I passionate about? And because I thought like that at a younger age, I had set myself up for financial success when I started to pull slowly out of the music industry in my mid-30s. And I think that was a really smart choice. Now, in today's world, we hear a lot more about that. You'll take like a Shaquille, you know, Shaq. Shaq has 400 streams of income. And I'm sure on this call, we have a lot of women, you know, they're working the career. You know, they've got the paycheck coming in, but there's a passion, a drive, you know, something that they're wanting, and they're, you know, obviously smart enough to know, okay, look, that's my plan B for now. This is my A. But when is the shift when that becomes my plan A? And I just knew when I was younger, I had to be prepared for that. And so I started a relocation company at 19. I had a moving company. I became a licensed realtor. My dad and grandmother had already been real estate agents. I started a property management company. I created things that created residual, just like my music industry. And I was looking for things that allowed me to still be in music and tour, but were making money while I was in that passion. And my question is to so many women, are you doing that? Or are you just paycheck to paycheck? And like I said, Shaq, you know, I study the wealthy, and advice I give to all women, stop studying your broke neighbor, your broke uncle. Look at the ones that have what you want. And back then, I studied the people in the music industry, the business mindset. I was offered two record deals, Royce, and I turned them both down. And I'm so glad I did. Oh, my goodness. One of them was a very, very well-known label that was starting a sister company, and the ones they signed were, you know, like Alan Jackson and Pam Tillis and Brooks and Dunn. And at first you're thinking, is she crazy? Did she just walk away from that? Well, let me tell you what I know about those artists I just named. Because they were so entrenched only with the mindset of music, they're no longer touring. And if you're not touring, you don't make money. But because April wasn't willing to give away the farm, including my copyrights and my music, I am financially sound. And I would encourage anybody in any industry, especially the music industry, to think like that. Not all record deals are a good deal. And I was just smart enough to know that. So about my mid-20s is when I started really delving into multiple streams of income and studying that the wealthy, the average millionaire, had 7 streams of income. And all of my friends that were going to college had a job. And I kept thinking, wow. And they would look at me and say, you're crazy because you're an entrepreneur and you don't have a safety net. And I'm looking at them going, you're crazy because that company could lay you off any day. And in those days, this is only about 20 years ago, We didn't see a lot of that. But about 10 years ago, we saw a ton of that. Downsizing, you know, outsourcing and all those things. So a lot of my friends that played it safe, that never looked for a plan B, were given a pink slip and said, thank you, but we're done. We're outsourcing. You know, the companies have folded and or we're merging. And that was a shock to them and an identity crisis. But for me, it was just, I told you so. And a lot of people, again, we go to college, you get good grades, and you think that that piece of paper is going to set you up for success. And what it does is it allows you to play in a different market in a field and be paid a different rate, but it's still not a guarantee. And I think we're definitely seeing that in today's world. People are smarter, wow, and they know that they've got to take control.
Yeah. You've addressed so many follow-up questions I had in my head. And one was how to get started in the industry. And you talked about paying your dues and not selling the farm. And so I'm sure that there are listeners out there. And I know that I've interviewed several up-and-coming musical artists recently who are trying to get their feet on the ground and become a legend like yourself and very well known in the industry. So that's sage advice for them. And for those of us in the entrepreneurial world, thank you so much for sharing that you need multiple streams of income and that the job is not the security net that people think it is. So mm-hmm. April, what a great introduction to who you are and your belief system and an encouragement to both entrepreneurs and songwriters out there. Before I ask my next question, I just want to thank our sponsors that make this conversation possible and share who they are. So I'll give you time to take a breather, April, and be right back to talk to you some more. My first sponsor is Pivot Business Consulting. Pivot Business Consulting facilitates training and coaching in leadership development, team communication, team building, and process improvement. Intern Pursuit, a subsidiary of Pivot, matches students to employers, much like Match.com, using a proprietary algorithm and assessments to help employers get matched with the interns they need. Contact Pivot Business Consulting at 321-422-2166 or email them at info@pivotbusinessconsulting.com today. My second sponsor is Sociotech Academy. Sociotech Academy is a movement that finds the balance between technological advances and the ability of social frameworks to adapt to them. Go online at socio-tech.org to find out more information about their mission. And now I want to get back to our conversation with my very special guest, April Consulo, and talk a little bit more. Now, April, I know that you did not have that level of success without some major roadblocks or challenges that you had to overcome. Would you mind being vulnerable for just a couple of minutes and sharing something that has been a turning point for you to help you get to this level of success?
Well, in the first part of our call today, I've been speaking about the music industry, and probably one of the biggest roadblocks I had is I actually had a father that didn't support my music career, but a mother that did. And a lot of it was his fear. He had seen what it can do to be in that industry. And, you know, and when you're young, you know, you look up to your parents. So to have a, you know, technically a term I would use, almost a dream stealer. He kept saying, you can't do this. This won't be, you know, something you can have a foundation on. And when, as we got older and I had a chance to speak with my father, it really was about fear. But at the time, it was definitely a dream stealer, and it went in my head. And I had to be strong enough to realize that God put this gift in my heart, and I wasn't going to just throw it away. And so I stayed the course. And as I became more successful, of course, he became, but I stayed grounded. And that's, you know, a lot of artists don't stay grounded. We see it every day. And I think that was just something. So who are you surrounding yourself that is your cheerleading base? Like, who are there in your corner every day? And then, of course, there's the audience. Not everybody liked my music. And so, you know, you have to get ready for the no's. And as an entrepreneur, It's always no's. I mean, to me, no just means not now. I wanted to open for a major artist. I didn't get that artist, but I ended up getting, you know, an opportunity to speak at a fair where somebody said, well, you're too this, you're too that. I had to have thick skin. And as an entrepreneur, you know this, Royce, you build a business, and it is personal when somebody tells you no. It's not like when you work for a company and they're like, well, we just chose not to go with that computer company. You're like, oh, okay. But when it's your company, it's your baby, it's your identity, it can really hurt. So have thick skin. Be ready for the no's. Be optimistic and excited about the no's. When people would tell me no, I'd just be like, I can't wait till I'm getting paid $10,000 to play for 30 minutes, and I get to go to back all those people that supported me, and I won't have to charge them because – and all those things would play in my head, and guess what? I was able to do all that. I was able to literally do that. So I always have a vision board. I always was speaking in my own head. You know, one of the phrases you and I spoke about when we first talked, a lot of people will hear this phrase, garbage in, and when I say it, they'll say garbage out. That's not true. Garbage in, garbage stays. And you have to align yourself with good information and cheerleaders that are constantly believing you can do it. I had a mom in my corner, and I kept those words in my heart. And praise God I did. And as you know, that wasn't my only claim to fame. About 25 years ago, I moved to Nashville because a lot of my friends were writers, and I decided to quit touring full time and moved to Nashville. And that's where the second half of my life really gets started and where I'm able to make a huge impact both politically and for women. So I didn't know if you had any questions on anything else I just said.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I love the fact that you say that we started our conversation by discussing vision boards and not playing small and not listening to the naysayers that think it can't be done. I've had this experience in this conversation with my business coach the last month or so, because October 1, I wrote down a goal to have a European speaking tour with 6 dates on it. Well, I have secured 3 of those dates, and I have 2 more in the works that were in conversation. So that playing small and not believing, like you said, you couldn't open for one artist, but you opened for somebody else. And, you know, we just can't take that no personally. We have to go on and know that the right opportunity to add value and impact in someone's life or organization is on the horizon and not to stop. So thank you for sharing that. Now, you have made a large impact in other areas of your community, and being involved in community is so important. I actually want to ask, you said that you transitioned from touring to songwriting and living in Nashville, and I know that your coaching topics go along with some of your songs, like Strong-Willed Women and Own Your Destiny and Permission to Live. Can you share how that translated into your coaching topics and how those messages became clear to you?
Thank you. Yes. When I was young, I was flustered many times that I didn't have the success faster or, you know, again, the naysayers. And my writing for me was a way to get that energy out and to write about positive influences and positive things that, you know, I thought could inspire even myself. If I'm going to sing a song every day, I want to sing something that lifts me up. And so I was writing songs in my late teens, like Strong-Willed Woman or I Believe in Me. And as I got older, I realized, oh my goodness, I'm writing personal development songs. Because when you just say the word, I believe in me. And then all of a sudden you get the audience to sing with you. You know, it just, there's a feeling that comes over you. It's similar to going to church. And what I realized is, oh my, I could literally inspire people. If I don't want to be touring an opening for all the artists, what if I just started a personal development program where I inspire people? I talk about a topic and I bring other speakers. And at the end of it, I actually sing a portion of a song I wrote that attaches to it. So a few years ago when I lost my mother, I my mom was just this amazing woman who sacrificed. You heard she was the one that was there from the day one and believing. And she was also, she also sacrificed her life to make sure everyone around her had what they want. But she was that woman that would say, someday I'm going to do this and someday I'll do that. And when she died, this mindset hit me. Why is it we think we have to die before we'll give ourselves permission to live? Why was my mom waiting to know it was over before she said, okay, I'll go ahead and do something? And how many other women were doing that? And when I started studying and going to women's conferences and speaking with other very successful women, I found there was a common thread that when women have joy or have something for themselves, there is guilt attached. And I had put on a vision board about a year and a half ago, I will write a book called Permission to Live. But when I was out speaking at these events, people would say to me, April, will you just sing a little bit about a song that you wrote? Well, that's what put the icing on the cake. And lo and behold, I just finished my first audio book. And it is a 6-part where I speak about a topic, overcoming the topic, and then a song that actually attaches to it. And it is just so much fun to watch the reaction and just to be able to honor my mom. The audiobook is in memory of her and the sacrifice she made, but also about why your kids need to see you have joy while you're on this earth, not after. So that's really where that's at. And then, of course, I went after some other career goals. I decided to run for a commissioner position in Nashville, and I was elected as mayor in this beautiful city because I was frustrated with the way the city had been ran. And I thought, well, I'm not a politician, but I'm a concerned citizen. It's okay. I wasn't a musician and I made that work. So I just started everything that was put in my heart. I just said, I can do this. I can. Who do I need to talk to? Who is a success in that industry? I'll go find them. I will seek them out. And that person, if they will take the time, I will be a student and I will be coachable. And those are the things that I've learned and why I've so excelled in so many different things. Huge in the real estate arena, top 5% in the nation in a city and state I'm not from. So any industry I chose to go after, and you'll be able to find that when they go to my website, I pretty much was able to be at least in that top 3 to 5% because I put myself around the person that was in that industry at the top.
Yeah, that's great. I love the title, Permission to Live. I've encountered people that can't understand that you can't wait to live, and they keep saying, when I am able to, when I'm more financially secure, when I retire, when the kids grow up, when, and, you know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and today is our day to live. Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory is about empowering women to go from survival to thriving, and we have to take each day and seize it because we don't have a do-over on our time, right?
No. So, and I do talk about this with the youth. You know, the younger, we don't have to. You'll hear a whole segment on millennials, and I talk about the way they've seen 9/11. They saw the Paris attacks. They watched the Vegas shootouts. They know everything going on, and they're not going to wait. They're going to live all out today, and I'm so proud of them for that because they know that tomorrow is not promised.
Yeah, I'm proud of them for that, too. And I know that we're down to our last couple of minutes. So other than the advice that you've already shared during this entire interview, and it's just been fabulous, I could talk to you for a couple more hours. But in closing, can you give those listeners out there that want to be successful in music or life or entrepreneurship your top tip for success to be in that top 5% as you've been able to achieve?
Well, the two things that must go hand in hand is consistency and coachable. If you don't have consistency, and being willing to chip away and chip away daily, and have those disciplines and habits, you won't succeed in anything, even in your current job. So it's not just being an entrepreneur, it's in life. And, you know, be patient with yourself, you know. The second thing is being coachable. Put yourself around people that have what you want what you want and ask them, will they mentor you? You'd be surprised. Like somebody as powerful as you, Royce, on this call, you have this desire to serve and help women. Look at you. You don't have to do that. You're a success. But here you are looking for those that are coachable and you're willing to pass the baton, and that's what you're looking for. So those are two really top nuggets for anybody listening.
Thank you for that. Stay with me just another minute. I want to thank our sponsors once again for making this show possible and allowing me to have this conversation with April Consulo. And those sponsors are Pivot Business Consulting and Sociotech Academy. Now, April, I know that people are going to want to connect with you further after they hear this. So where can they connect with you online?
Sure. Probably the best way is through my nonprofit called Women, as you mentioned, Word of Mouth Entrepreneurial Networkers. They can go to my website, and that is www.wordofmouthen.com. Let me repeat that, www.wordofmouthen.com, E-N for Entrepreneurial Networker.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And you can connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn by searching for Royce Gomez or The Best Way. And the quickest way to reach me is on my website, roycetalks.com, and fill out the contact me form, and I'll be happy to connect with you. Thank you again, April, for making time to have this conversation and encourage our listeners to be at that top 5%, because as women in business, we need more like that. So thank you.